Hallelujah indeed. Thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Today we are reading from the book of Revelation. We're back there. And we're going to be in chapter 6, reading verses 12 through 17. If you want to turn your Bibles to that and read along. Let's stand for the reading of God's word. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. And the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up, and every mountain and every island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave and every free man, they hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand?" Thank you. Be seated.
Now, thank you, Bruce. I have an old article here. It's entitled, "When Cheers Turn into Jeers and Tears." And the subtitle is "Moms and Dads as Spoil Sports and Hoodlums." In 9 years as president of the Subdivision Sports Youth Baseball League, the low-pressure alternative to Little League he founded, Mike Finneran of Naperville, Illinois, has had many memorable moments. Like the time one coach in a second-grade game began choking the other one. Or the numerous encounters with parents who hurled the F word faster than a Randy Johnson fastball, berated their kids from the sidelines, and disputed every umpire's call. "We were the laid-back league," says Finneran 50, who canceled the spring's baseball season for third through eighth grade boys. "I've had 3 heart attacks, triple bypass surgery, and a stroke. And I don't need the stress of these guys fighting." Hardly a game goes by without an ugly example or two or three. Last fall, a midget league football game in Pennsylvania ended in a melee involving nearly 100 players, coaches, parents, and fans. A Maryland father, disappointed that his son had been left off the All-Star team, knocked down and kicked a coach. While an Oklahoma coach had to be restrained after choking the teenage umpire during a t-ball game for 5- and 6-year-olds. In fact, attacks on umpires have grown so common that the National Association of Sports Officials recently began offering a new benefit to its 19,000 members: assault insurance. Wow, it's just kind of amazing that things have spun out of control to that point. And maybe even more amazing is that people, primarily parents, would get so angry over things that are so unimportant, trivial, inconsequential. But that's nothing compared to understanding how God is going to get angry. And he will have a really, really good reason. What is the event that's going to take place where the people on planet Earth are finally going to figure out, I think God is mad? What is going to take place, and how will people respond when they figure it out? Well, in Revelation chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, we find the event that will take place where people will finally figure out God is really mad. So I invite you to open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. And I'm sure some of you have been in situations with loved ones or a spouse, and they're mad and you don't know it, but then when you figure it out, you really know it. And that's what's going to happen here. Let's look at Revelation 6:12. Real quick review, the first four sealed judgment in Revelation chapter 6, which will take place during the first 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation period. Those are false Christs who promise false peace, war and bloodshed, famine, and finally unprecedented death. The fourth seal alone, 1/4 of the world will die. The fifth seal we looked at is the prayers of the martyred saints. People who are saved during the tribulation period will offer up prayers to God, and he will respond with even greater wrath from that point on. Now let's take a look at the sixth seal. The record of the sixth seal. This is exactly what's going to happen. And there are five specific things that are going to happen when the sixth seal is unveiled. Revelation 6:12, I looked, and when he opened the sixth seal, that is the Lord Jesus, and behold, there was a great earthquake. Now, we're familiar with earthquakes, Richter scale 1 to 10. This one is probably going to be about a 20, okay? It's a great earthquake. Like the world has never seen. And the reason that we can be confident of that is because it helps trigger some of the other things that we're going to read here in verses 12 and 13. It is a great shaking of the earth. It reminds me a little bit of what took place in Matthew 27. Now, this is going to be on a much larger scale on Revelation 6. But in Matthew 27, you remember the Lord Jesus Christ had just been crucified, and he just breathed his last. Matthew 27, verse 50. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice, and he yielded up his spirit. So he passed away. Then behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. People could have direct access now into the presence of God. And the earth quaked. And because the earth quaked, the rocks were split. And the graves were opened. That's how powerful the earthquake was. Rocks split and graves opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised, coming out of the graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. This is the part I like, verse 54. So when the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and the other things that had happened, they feared greatly, saying, truly this was the Son of God. And so the earthquake and the subsequent things that happened, such as the rocks splitting, it caused some people to realize, oh my goodness, I think God is speaking here. And this man on the cross who just yielded up his spirit is truly the Son of God. In other words, some people got it. And that's going to be the same thing that happens with this earthquake. The only difference is it will be an earthquake that quakes the whole earth, and people are going to start to get it. Now, the first five seals were also the wrath of God, but people didn't get it. This will get people's attention. Let's continue. He opened the seal. There's a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood. Now, we have a nice sunshine out there today, and I'm pretty sure it's not black. That is the color of sackcloth. That is the hair of camels and other animals. And it was used to be an outward expression of inward mourning in the Old Testament days in particular. And the sun is going to go from the bright orange or bright yellow to black. This will get people's attention. And the moon, that shiny whitish kind of color that the moon has, it's going to become like blood. It's going to be as red as a beet. This too will get people's attention. Black and red, colors of death. And people are going to understand that God is really mad. I have a brother-in-law who's a veterinarian. And he says when there's a full moon, the animals go berserk. They go crazy. There's something different. And a lot of babies, they say, are born during a full moon. Can you imagine when the moon turns the color of blood? The animal kingdom is going to spaz out. But that's not all. Verse 16 of Revelation 6, "And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind." The word stars of heaven, sometimes it's translated stars, and sometimes it's translated any celestial body other than the moon or sun, which are always specifically designated moon or sun. So it can mean a star or it can mean any other celestial body. I tend to believe that it's another kind of celestial body. Let me share with you why. Stars are kind of big. And if stars fell from heaven and hit planet Earth is gone right there. Stars are also pretty hot. And as they would be getting closer to planet Earth would just incinerate and just no more planet Earth. And finally, in Revelation chapter 8, verse 12, those of you who have your Bible open, we can see that the stars are still in heaven. So my guess is it's probably another body like asteroids or meteorites. They're going to come and bombard planet Earth. And they will have a terrifying effect on people. I mean, can you just imagine? These things are just bombarding, coming from the heavens, and people are going to be terrified. In fact, that is described for us in Isaiah chapter 13. Let's turn to Isaiah 13. I mean, the closest we can come to this are some sci-fi movies. You know what I mean? None of us have experienced anything in real life like this. Isaiah chapter 13 describes ahead of time what was going to happen when Babylon fell, 538, 539 BC. And it did describe what happened, but it also describes what will happen in Revelation 6. In other words, multiple fulfillment of this text. Fulfilled once, 538, 539 BC, will be fulfilled again in the future, only it's going to be worse. Let's pick it up. Isaiah 13, verse 6. "Wail, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as destruction from the Almighty. Therefore, all hands will be limp." People are just going to, you know, be limp. "Every man's heart will melt, and they will be afraid. Pangs and sorrows will take hold of them. They will be in pain as a woman in childbirth." People will have such severe panic attacks that they will physically be in pain, the kind of pain that a woman has when she delivers a baby. That's how severe the fear, the terror, the panic attacks will be. I don't know a whole lot about delivering babies, but I have delivered 3 baby kidney stones. That's as close as I've gotten. And it can shake you. And I'll never forget when the third one hit me. I knew exactly what it was, and I was afraid because I had had 2 before. Right? And that's the way everybody's going to be. The panic attacks will be so severe, they will be in pain like a woman in childbirth. And they will be amazed at one another. Their faces will be like flames. People will be completely astonished, and you'll see the look on their face. I can't believe this is happening. "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, cruel, with both wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he will destroy its sinners from it. For the stars of heaven and their constellations will not give their light. The sun will be darkened in its going forth. The moon will not cause its light to shine. I will punish the world for its evil and the wicked for their iniquity. I will halt the arrogance of the proud." People are not going to be proud anymore. I will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a mortal more rare than fine gold, a man more than the golden wedge of Ophir. Therefore, I will shake the heavens, and the earth will move out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts and in the day of his fierce anger. And so we got a little glimpse of that, I guess, 538, 539 BC with Babylon. And now they're going to get a real full-fledged look at the fulfillment of Isaiah 13. People will be terrified. They will be scared to death. But it doesn't end there. Back to Revelation 6, verse 14. Then the sky receded as a scroll when it is rolled up. The margin of my Bible receded. It says split apart. Split apart as a scroll when it is rolled up. And it seems like the picture is if you get a scroll and you cut it in half and then both sides just kind of curl up. You know how scrolls are, and they roll up. And it's what the heavens are going to look like. It's just going to look like it rolls up. Split apart. Isaiah 34 gives us a little bit of insight into this, the heavens splitting apart and curling up. Isaiah 34, notice what Isaiah tells us about this event. Beginning in verse 2 of Isaiah 34. For the indignation of the Lord is against all nations, and his fury against all their armies. He has utterly destroyed them. He has given them over to slaughter. Also their slain shall be thrown out. Their stench shall rise from their corpses. There will be so many people that die that you're going to be able to smell the stench of the dead. The mountains shall be melted with their blood. All the host of heaven shall be dissolved, and the heavens shall be rolled up like a scroll. All their hosts shall fall down as the leaf falls from the vine and as a fruit falling from a fig tree. And so it appears that the hosts of heaven, the asteroids and the meteorites, as they're coming down from heaven, at the same time the sky is going to be splitting apart simultaneously. And people will figure out that God is mad. They won't get it through the first five seals, but they're going to get it here. They're going to understand. Finally, and this I found particularly interesting, the final and fifth record of the seal, the fifth thing that's going to happen. Verse 14, every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now, think about a mountain moving. Think about the Rocky Mountains moving. I mean, that's sort of going to affect like Denver, Colorado. Any city that's anywhere near the mountain, when an entire mountain moves, is going to feel the effects of that movement. And islands are going to move. And so I don't know if they're going to move in the water. And can you imagine what that will do to the waves, the size of the waves? It's going to make the tsunamis that we've read about in recent years look like baby waves in a baby pool. Entire mountains moving, entire islands moving, and maybe some of them actually sinking. And the people are going to get it. They're going to understand that God is not happy. I think it's good to pause right here. The Lord, the God that I know, is just so very patient and so very loving and so very kind and so very good. He's going to have to get to the point where he finally runs out of patience to come to this point. Because he's so patient, not just with me and other people who know him, but unbelievers who rebel against him. He's a very loving, patient God. But he's going to get to that point, the record of the sixth seal. Now let's look at the response of people to the sixth seal. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth the people who rule nations. In our nation, it would be the president, the kings of the earth, the great men, men who are very prominent, perhaps prominent men of finance, rich men. Well, that's probably the prominent men of finance, right? The commanders, generals in the army and in the navy and the marines. The mighty men, the men who really had influence and power. And every slave and every free man, all the employers and all the employees on planet Earth. Let's put it this way. Everybody hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains. Everyone's going to hide themselves in fear. I'm not sure that I would hide in the mountains in light of the fact that the mountains aren't going to be real stable. I'm just sharing that with you. But when you're getting bombarded by things coming from heaven, you're going to look for anything that you can hide. I think that's what's going to happen. It's not going to be the most rational thing in the world, but it's the best that they're going to come up with. Let's hide in the mountains, even though the mountains are moving. But there's some other problem with hiding in the mountains. That's not the only reason why it's not the most rational move in the world. In Amos chapter 9, we see another reason why it really is not that smart to hide in the mountains. Amos chapter 9, verse 1. And I saw the Lord standing by the altar, and he said, strike the doorposts that the threshold may shake, and break them on the heads of them all. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He who flees from them shall not get away, and he who escapes from them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell or Sheol, from there my hand shall take them. Though they climb up to heaven, from there I will bring them down. And though they hide themselves on top of Mount Carmel, from there I will search and take them. Though they hide from my sight at the bottom of the sea, from there I will command the serpent, and it shall bite them on their derriere. So it doesn't matter if you go to Sheol, it doesn't matter if you go to heaven, it doesn't matter if you go to the deepest part of the sea. God says, if I want to get somebody, I'm going to get them. So you can run and you can hide, but you can't get away from God. And that's the biggest problem with hiding in the mountains. And by the way, it's good for us to realize sometimes we can try to hide from God by simply making ourselves unavailable to do what he wants us to do. That's a way to hide from God too. Ask Jonah. That's what Jonah tried to do. How did that work for Jonah? If God wants us to do something, don't run. Don't become unavailable. Just do what he wants. And so the people on planet Earth are going to act in a way that's not the smartest thing in the world. They're going to try to hide from Almighty God. And it won't work. It's interesting. People's response will be fear. But it won't be repentance. It'll be fear. But it's not like, oh my goodness, we need to get right with God. It's kind of like 9/11. Do you remember 9/11? People in the United States were afraid. For a season, the fear wore off, and very few people repented and came to Christ. It's going to be like that. How else are people going to respond? Well, verse 16. Then they said to the mountains and to the rocks. I'm not too sure I would talk to the mountains and the rocks either. But we're not talking rational response here. They said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. And so this is kind of like a prayer request. And the prayer request is going to be, please, mountains and rocks, fall on us so that we can die, so that we don't have to face the wrath of the Father or the wrath of the Son. May I suggest that that's not particularly rational either? because when you die as an unbeliever, you face the wrath of the Father and the wrath of the Son. And, you know, by the way, let me just throw this out real fast. When an unbeliever, someone who doesn't know the Lord, and we're confident of that, and they're suffering physically, we don't want to say, we hope that they pass away soon so that they won't have to suffer anymore. Please don't say that. Okay, I've bit my tongue numerous times over the years with that, and I've never said anything, but if somebody doesn't know the Lord, passing away is not going to end their suffering. Okay? But that's what they're wishing here. We can get away from the wrath of God and the wrath of the Lamb if the mountains and the rocks would just fall on us and we could die. To escape his wrath. And as I said, these responses are not rational. But they get it, at least verse 17, for the great day of his wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They understood that God is mad. And he'd been mad for over 3.5 years, but now they get it. They're going to try to run from it. If that doesn't work, they're going to ask to die to get away from it. You know, it's amazing how irrational we can be when somebody's mad and we're afraid. We used to be afraid of my parents in a healthy sense of the word. You know, they were loving. They're really fine parents, my mom and dad. But mom used to have a wooden spoon, and then she had a paddle called the paddle of psychology. That's what it said on. It was a paddle of psychology. And we would do stuff, you know, with three boys in the house during the winter months, and we acted like boys, and mom would correct us, and we wouldn't be corrected. And so she'd get out the paddle from the school of psychology, and it was really cool. We had a way of getting away from her. She'd say something in the kitchen. She'd run into the dinette, come into the family room. While we would be in the family room, we would be able to jump through this opening where you could serve people into the kitchen where she came from originally, and we would do that. We would get on the couch, jump through the opening, down onto the kitchen floor, and then we would run up the stairs and lock ourselves in our bedroom. And we thought we were going to get away from my mom. But my mom was smarter than us. She understood that three boys eventually are going to want to eat, and they would come out of their bedrooms, and we would walk into her wrath. Punishment. And, you know, if you can't run away from your mom, you can't run away from Almighty God. But people, we don't think clearly when we're afraid. And that's the way it's going to be here. Let's conclude by looking at the rescue from the sixth seal. The rescue from the sixth seal. To be delivered from the sixth seal. Turn, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. It's an important point. Verse 10. You want to serve the living and the true God, and we want to wait for his Son, Jesus, from heaven, whom he, God the Father, raised from the dead, even Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Now, Jesus is going to deliver us from the wrath, not in the midst of the wrath. He's going to separate us from that wrath, so that we don't experience the wrath which is to come. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So all believers who are alive, before the wrath of God is poured out on planet Earth, will be delivered from that wrath so as to not experience that wrath. It will happen before the wrath of God falls. And I think we can prove that the wrath of God begins with the very first seal and continues the second seal and the third seal and the fourth seal. The entire thing is God's wrath. People on planet Earth just won't figure it out until the sixth seal. For instance, in Jeremiah 42, and we could go to different places, particularly in Jeremiah, we see that God used the exact same things that he will use in the future to express his anger, his fury, his indignation, his wrath. He used the exact same things to express his wrath to Judah and to the children of Israel in the past. Jeremiah chapter 42, verse 15. Then hear now the word of the Lord, O remnant of Judah. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, if you wholly set your faces to enter Egypt to dwell there, then it shall be that the sword which you feared shall overtake you there in the land of Egypt. That's the same as the second seal. The famine of which you were afraid of shall follow close after you there in Egypt, and there you shall die. That's the same as the third seal. So it shall be with all men who set their face to go to Egypt to dwell there. They shall die by the sword, that's the second seal, by famine, that's the third seal, and by pestilence, that's the fourth seal. And none of them shall remain or escape from the disaster that I will bring upon them. For thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, as my anger and my fury have been poured out on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so my fury will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. And so God says, these are the things that I use to express my wrath and my fury. And we will be delivered from that wrath, that fury, before the first seal when he expresses his anger upon planet Earth. Well, as bad as this is, I really believe that eternal punishment is worse. It's worse. And so I plead with anybody here, you're not sure that you will escape the wrath to come or the wrath for eternity. Come to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. Trust what he did on the cross for you. Surrender your life to him. To avoid the wrath to come. And for those of us who are confident that we have, there's a lot of people that we know who haven't. Let's pray. Lord God, you are a gracious God. We sang about the wonderful grace of Jesus. Greater than all of my sin. Higher than a mountain. Sparkling like a fountain. All sufficient grace for even me. And we thank you for that infinite grace. We thank you for that infinite mercy. But we realize, Lord God, that you are God who at the same time is holy, just, and hates sin. And so help us to see, Lord God, that the wrath that we just read about and studied about in Revelation 6 is certainly no greater than the wrath that is experienced when someone passes away without Jesus. So I pray, Lord God, that people would seriously, solemnly consider their spiritual condition and state, because the wrath that we will see in the sixth seal is merely just a form of the wrath that people will experience separated from you from ever. May you work, Lord God, and may we be grateful in our hearts that through Jesus we escape the wrath which is to come, both on earth and under the earth. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.